This is the Wild Crime Report for Tuesday, the 9th of April, 2024. The Wild Crime Report is a bite-sized summary of what is happening around the world in the realm of environmental crime. It brings together a collection of the important stories that hit the press, be it seizures, prosecutions, or interesting developments that impact our most protected species. If you're tuning into this via Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts, check out the Wild Crime Report on Substack, where you can sign up and get the accompanying newsletters, as well as some additional content that is in the pipeline. Now let's get into some information. Last week, Vietnamese government news released a press release that on the 23rd of March 2024, Vietnamese customs seized 1.5 tons of ivory in the port city of Haiphong. Consisting of 547 elephant ivory tusks found within a shipping container, the consignment had been sent from Nigeria, West Africa. This follows a pattern of large shipments of elephant ivory being trafficked from Nigeria in the last decade, although it's worth noting that this is the largest major ivory seizure detected between the Nigeria-Vietnam route since early 2022, after the Nigeria Customs Service arrested and convicted a number of networks operating in and around Lagos. It's too early to tell if this was a revival of the same trafficking networks operating within West Africa, or if a new group of smugglers have resolved to take advantage of what has been an easy supply corridor due to the high volume of shipping cargo coming from that part of the world. The photos shown in press reports indicate that the ivory had been painted black, something that has been seen in the past in wildlife investigations. It remains to be seen whether this was a way in which the traffickers were marking their product, or an attempt to trick customs enforcement teams, or even to obscure any markings on the tusks that might indicate their origin. Vietnamese Customs News detailed that false shipping companies were used on all documentation, meaning that inquiries into the shippers will require further more proactive investigative efforts to determine those responsible. Unfortunately, now that the seizure has been made public, investigators are going to have an uphill battle to find those responsible. Wildlife seizure cases tend to lose urgency the longer time passes and the more leads hit brick walls. One thing is for sure. Along with the seizure recently in Mozambique, as reported on the Wild Crime Report 2 weeks ago, the demand for African elephant ivory from the Asian market is not going away. Now, another customs agency that is forever on their toes is Hong Kong Customs. Last week, Hong Kong Customs arrested a 37-year-old man who travelled from Malaysia and was carrying 63 live turtles in his check-in baggage. The turtles, the species of which was not identified, were individually wrapped in tape and plastic. The courier was reported to be destined for an onward journey to the Philippines. However, it's not known if the turtles would have followed him there. Being as Hong Kong is the hot market for reptiles, it's pretty likely the poor fellows would have been handed off to a buyer and laundered into the vast local reptile market in Kowloon, or perhaps smuggled north into mainland China. Now, anyone who has travelled to South Asia would be familiar with the sight of motorcycle riders tearing around town, sometimes laden with entire families, or giant stacks of boxes and cargo like a ridiculously speedy snail. Well, in Bangladesh, a 24-year-old motorcycle rider called Aludin was stopped carrying two black Asiatic bear cubs hidden inside a bag as he rode along a major road near the southern city of Bandaban. The bear cubs, thankfully still alive, were taken by officials and reports have indicated that they will be relocated to a nearby safari park. Unless these cubs were born in captivity in some sort of illegal bear farm, it's a depressing thought to think that they could very well have been trafficked after being separated from their mother, who would have likely been killed by poachers. Legal proceedings are forthwith against Aludin, and let's hope investigators don't stop there. And lastly, a story that may well continue to make waves over the coming weeks, if not months. Last month, the South African government publicly announced a plan to use the Rainbow Nation's rich biodiversity to become a commercial moneymaker and uplift a country in dire need of prosperity. Called the National Biodiversity Economy Strategy, the Ministry of Forestry, Fisheries and the Environment delivered a public draft of this initiative, which aimed to create 5 mega conservation landscapes that would eventually be the equivalent size of 7 Kruger National Parks. Sounds great. Except for the fact the plan is to transform these areas into commercial businesses that would allow for what they called, quote, consumptive use of game and marine and freshwater resources. In essence, opening the door to the largest attempt of commercial hunting and fishing for profit under what would be a complex and vast system of regulation, conservation, and of course, enforcement. Now, understandably, South Africans and their politicians are looking for any way they can to monetize their natural resources for the greater good, just like any country would. Far be it from outsiders or Mzungus to weigh in on how they run their business. But, and yep, this Mzungo has a but, when you have recent statistics, such as the nationwide increase in poaching of the southern white rhino, you can understand why people are skeptical of these plans and the government's ability to manage such an undertaking. But what appears to have really pissed people off is that the ministry delivered this draft in early March and only gave members of the public 14 days to respond. And from the response of numerous press publications, NGOs, and many advocacy groups, I suspect their inbox and mailbox has been stuffed fuller than an elephant's sock. Now here's what would really concern those of us in wildlife investigation circles. This strategy is coming at a time in which South Africa still has the highest crime index of all African countries. Killings and robberies are a regular occurrence. South Africa's homicide rate is 45 per 100,000 people. For comparison, the gun-loving USA is just 6.3 per 100,000. This situation has led to a massive increase in the private security industry, where armed private contractors perform crime prevention duties, where police clearly don't have the capacity or resources. So in this context, when citizens can't count on the government to protect them, how can you expect the government to protect endangered animals at any of these mega conservation landscapes? Organized criminal groups already pick off rhino horn, abalone, and any other lucrative environmental products in a premeditated and coordinated fashion. They do this in a country that has a slow prosecution process and limited reach outside its own borders, where most illegal wildlife and marine products are trafficked. Furthermore, the presence and ability of organized crime groups to infiltrate such conservation areas and use legal hunting to launder unregulated poaching has been exploited before. We've seen this a decade ago when Vietnamese and Lao nationals teamed up with corrupt South African rangers, hunters, and veterinarians. The industry would see similar efforts cooked up by very well-organized criminal networks, able to navigate every loophole in a system in which transparency is lacking and enforcement is easily thwarted. Like any idea that promotes sustainability, on paper, it's a sound way to find balance between the ever-complex human-animal conflict. But sustainability requires order and stability, and can only be managed by good governance and a law and order mechanism that can fight off organized crime and corruption. And you'd be hard-pressed to make the case that South Africa currently ticks those boxes. As I said, this may well be an important space to watch. And that is the Wild Crime Report for this week. I'm Matt Darrant. Until next time, stay wild and keep the animals there too.